All right, folks, welcome to the Getting Your Edge podcast. My name is Dennis.
And hi, I'm Judy Grattan.
And we're here to help you right-size your home and your life. Hello, everyone. This is Getting Your Edge, How to Right-Size Your Home and Life podcast with Dennis Day and Judy Grattan from the Edge Group team. And we are back for part two of five clues your real estate agent is working for a commission and not for you. Today, we're going to concentrate on the positive things a high-quality real estate agent should be doing for you. And this lets you know that they are working for you and not just a commission. Let's get going. How you can tell an agent is working for you.
Okay.
So, number one, they consult you to make a home preparation for sale plan. And this is before it goes live. And they're telling you, you need to clean this. You need to remove this. You need to mow the lawn. You need to add paint here. All these little things to prepare it so that it shows the very best it possibly can be on the first day it goes live.
To get the most eyes on it, to get that sense of urgency. I want this house, to get the top dollar, to get the multiple offers. But we also say you have a choice. You don't have to do any of those things. You can sell it as is. This is what you're, this is again, an agent with experience is going to be able to say, this is your as is price. And this is, if you fix it up, here's your fix it up price. What do you want to do? You always get to make the choice, or you should. And so that consultation on helping for preparation of the sale of the home, it talks about all of those things. And also safety issues for you as the owner, especially if you live in the home.
Number two, develops a pricing strategy. What does that mean?
Well, once again, we provide information on your competition, the homes that are currently on the market, the homes that are pending, meaning the homes that people were willing to make an offer on, so they went under contract. We don't know exactly what they're going to sell for yet, but we know they were in the right price range to generate interest. And then the recently sold homes. And we're trying to compare apples to apples. And as close to your home, as much like your home as possible. And we provide the information of how long they were on the market, as much information as what they had going on in their home, and then the actual pricing. So those are the things that you want to compare: location, condition, and price. And when you've done those things, you can see what the market is telling you approximately in a range, what it's willing to bear. And so that is the information that we bring forward in the pricing strategy.
One of the things you want to avoid is if there's more than one home for sale in your neighborhood, you probably don't want to be the highest priced one unless you are just an exceptionally better home.
And sometimes, what is the definition of better? Is it that you put a lot of upgrades and different things into the home? What are they? Are they really going to generate the interest in the marketplace, or were they things that you really loved? A good example of that, especially in the Northwest, is a pool and sometimes a hot tub. People who have them and enjoy them, they love them. But in general, we have a very rainy, cold climate here. And so most people, especially swimming pools, they don't care about them hardly at all. And so it may have cost you thousands of dollars to put a brand new pool in that is not going to generate a dime because people just are not interested. Or you're going to wait for the one or the two. What we want is the most people who are interested in your home, as many as we can get. And the pool is not going to be the factor that's going to drive that here. Now, if you were in California or someplace like that, it probably will, but not here.
All right. I think this is one of our strengths, is it presents and delivers a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. Not just, okay, I'm going to put up some flyers. I'm going to make a Facebook post, but a plan. So one of the things we do is, we mentioned it earlier, is the listing kickstart. And that is with a 3-day event about your home on a weekend. We canvass the neighborhood, invite all your neighbors. Why? Because the neighbors have friends who say, oh, I really love this neighborhood. I'd like to live here. And those people who do live there start talking. Or I have an aunt who really wants to live near us. This is just more people talking and more excitement about that plan. We also have what's called a neighbor invitation only open house. And so we're inviting just the neighbors, making it really special. And that's a way, another way to kick off, because they're going to want to come in and see that home anyways.
Anyway.
Right.
And they'll go back to work. They'll go back to their friends, like you said, or their family. Hey, there's this home for sale in my neighborhood. You should come see it. It's really cute. Something like that. And then that person shows up. It just spreads the word. The more we can spread the word, the more eyes we can get on it, the more people we can get interested in it, the more we can drive that price and conditions of contract.
One of the other things we do is a virtual open house on Facebook. So just before it goes open to everybody else, we go into the unit and we go live on Facebook and we're filming it, showing the great parts of that home. It might last only a few minutes, but it's another way of getting interest and people looking and talking and thinking about this home. Also, that then becomes Facebook post or an Instagram. We can use that multiple times in multiple ways.
And one of the really important things to consider in a marketing plan that's being delivered to you is, you know, what type of media are they going to produce? Are they going to produce videos? Are they going to produce floor plans? Are they going to produce? I mean, we have so many things that we can do now that we didn't used to be able to do. What's the quality of the photographs? If the agent is not encouraging you to make the beds and is going to come in with their phone and take photographs, and I've seen this, that does not bode well for you when people are looking at your home online. If the bed's unmade, the home's not fixed up, and if the colors are too dark, the curtains are closed, there's all kinds of mistakes that can happen within the media that's sent out there that may hurt your home versus help it.
It baffles me, but to see a bad picture, probably from a phone, of a home that's got clutter everywhere, it's not attractive, and it's going to drive people away
It's not helping the seller at all.
Yeah. Prepares you with a negotiating strategy. You're a great negotiator. Do you want to talk about that?
About a negotiating strategy. Well, we just talk about what to expect when the offers do come in, and that it's not always just that somebody is offering you a higher price than someone else, especially when they're getting financing. We look at the letters that come from the lenders, and what do they say? Do they say, based on what you told me, I believe you qualify for this home? That does not have a lot of teeth in it, nor is it, to me, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Whereas if they're fully underwritten, it says, we have checked all of your employment and your credit and your money, and we verified all this, and we have put our stamp of approval on you. You are certified. You are ready to go. That is as close as you can get to cash. So an agent working for you is going to be looking for all the different aspects of the contract that benefit you, and then showing you that to make sure you understand, well, this person has more earnest money that they've put down. It does tend to show that they are a stronger buyer, but there may be other aspects of the contract in your area that are weaker. Here, inspections are probably the weakest link for a seller in a contract, because a buyer who has an inspection contingency as part of their offer can literally not have any inspection at all, change their mind, and walk away based on inspection. So if it's pending inspection, we have to say that. And if they go away and it goes back on market, what do you think people are going to think about that?
Probably think that in the inspection, they found something catastrophically wrong and they don't want the house. And
that can cost you a tremendous amount of money. And as a listing agent who's doing their job, you want to, if you can, avoid it. So,
Well, it's not always about price, too. I mean, sometimes people, more importantly, is that they get 2 weeks after closing to rent back so they have more time to move. There's lots of variables into that contract that it's not always simply who has the most money or who's willing to put out the most money. There's lots of different factors. Communicates. I mean, that's so critical. I think it's one of our strengths. Mm-hmm. That an agent who's working for you is going to talk to you daily or near daily before you go live. Why? You've already settled on price, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that important?
Just to make sure if they have any questions, or it's a complicated thing that you're doing. It is a legal contract that you will be entering into. Well, it's a legal contract on the listing standpoint. It's a legal contract on the buying standpoint. You're trying to figure out where you're going to go, most likely. You might have children and dogs and packing and so many different things going on in this transition. That's why moving is like in the top 10 of stressors you can experience. And so we try and communicate with you as much as possible to try and take out some of that stress or alleviate it to a degree.
Also, if the home in your neighborhood just down the street sells for $100 over asking price and you're comparable and you listing, you might want to change your starting price.
Right before it goes live, if we've been talking and communicating with you right before it goes live, we're going to do another market analysis just to make sure that it's priced right. And provide you with that data again, just to ensure you that we are going on the market at a fair market value that is going to attract as much attention as possible.
Right when we start that poll kickstart, how many people came to the open house? Did anybody bring an agent? The feedback you're getting from people, we always try and get people to give written feedback so we can pass that on to you. We can't make people do it, but we wish we can. Sometimes we offer a drawing if they're willing to do that. Constant contact when offers arrive in negotiations until mutual is done. Talked about the agent who puts up a sign, don't hear from them until contract comes, and then they negotiate a contract, you sign, don't hear them until it's closing time, and you have to sign the documents. This is a stressful time.
It is. And everybody has different things, including the agents, that they have to do. The agents have to verify that the earnest money has been deposited, and they should be providing you with a receipt for that earnest money once it's gone into escrow. And they need to verify most often if there's financing, how the financing is going, and trying to get that contingency waived prior to closing so that it's becoming a stronger and stronger contract for you, the seller.
On the other side, the buyer side, if the agent is a strong and experienced, when you originally say, I have other offers, they might do things to sweeten their deal. Right. And that's really going to occur so frequently. Communication doesn't have to just be verbal, text, email, but providing people with a timeline document that they can refer to that says, this is going to happen on this day. This is what you have to do on this day. The buyer is going to be required to do this before 9 p.m. on this day. So you know every step of the way what's happening.
I found that people feel a lot more comfortable going through the transaction with that sort of thing that they can look at and then being available. And one of the things that we do as far as communication goes, and I highly recommend and hopefully whoever you're dealing with does this, and that is to ask you how you want to be communicated with. You're the client. And it's changed. Not all people want phone calls. Some people feel better with emails. Other people feel better with texts. So how do you want to be communicated with? And then as much as possible, trying to stick with that way. So if you ever have real estate questions, hopefully the agent that you're dealing with has that same philosophy. They're there for you to answer questions for you no matter what, so you can stay informed about real estate, especially if you purchased a new home Every time a home sells in a neighborhood, it changes the value of all the other homes in that neighborhood, good or bad.
This is an extremely stressful time. It is. It's one of the biggest, probably the biggest financial decision you make.
No matter what the price range is.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be left in the dark. You should know what's going on and when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move to the next one. There's just a few more. Okay. Regular follow-up and contact after closing.
Yeah, we kind of touched on that. We're here for you to answer questions. If you're buying, we like to make sure that you're getting, we have access to annual and monthly equity reports. How much money is your home worth to you if you walk away today? You know, that's taking your loan out, and what kind of money can you expect to walk away with? If you were to sell today, probably aren't thinking about selling today, but it's good to know. It's good to know in emergencies what your home is worth. So.
Well, we become friends with our clients. Not everybody. Not everybody wants to be a friend, you know, but it's so often that you and I, we end up becoming part of their family. We, you know, remember their birthdays. And one of the things you're really strong at is every January, you send a tax statement to each of the buyers so they know, use that document for their taxes.
The settlement statement from the closing is what we send out. And the closing costs are deductible, I think, in your taxes. I think it's not a credit, it's a deduction, I think. Don't quote me on that. But you really need that document. And frequently people, they get them from the escrow company, but it's such a, you know, frantic time. They're moving from one home to another. And sometimes the document gets lost and they don't think about it. And it's money, you know, that they could lose on their taxes. So we send that out to all of our buyers and sellers in January to make sure they have that settlement statement. We save it for them. But we also, like I said, we also send out at minimum an annual market analysis, and in some cases set them up on a monthly market analysis of the new home that they're in. So when we can do that, we do. So
number seven, I'm not sure people will agree, but if you're an agent who cares about more than just a commission, they're going to ask you for referrals and a Google review.
Absolutely. That's our lifeblood, referrals and reviews. Just like any other company, those reviews are really important. And if they're not asking you, it may be because they're afraid of what you might say. And so when we're asking you for these, it's because we're pretty sure we did a good job. And hopefully if we're not doing a good job or there's something else you want, you communicate that during the process so it could be corrected. But, you know, we all have family doctors and we have family dentists and we have family lawyers. And a real estate professional is the same sort of person. They have access to information that is valuable to you. If you stick with someone you know and you like, they're going to provide that information to you. It's not going to cost you anything when you need it and all of that.
I hope this has been helpful to people. There are, unfortunately, there are agents out there who are the one and dones and they chase a commission and they move on. And some of them can be pretty successful. It's not how we work.
No.
It's not how we want to work either.
And most agents that are going to make a career out of this don't work that way. They want to build relationships with people who can trust them. So they're a trusted advisor. That's really what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and I wasn't in this for the money. I mean, I taught public schools for 31 years. In the work world for money, I wouldn't have chosen that career. I'm somebody who wants to help people make their lives better. I know it sounds kind of mushy and woo-woo, but it's true. All right. I think that's it, unless you have any more, Judy.
I think that's it, Dennis.
All right. Well, I hope you have gained some valuable information. That's it for episode 35, Getting Your Edge, How to Right-Size Your Home Life podcast. We hope you enjoyed this. As always, we would dearly love to hear from you. Contact us at edgegroupteam.com. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
That's it, folks. Thanks for listening. And stay tuned for future episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks. Goodbye.